Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. I am Brother Tony Bullock with my co-host, Sister Eileen. Sister Reed, are you there?
I am here, Brother Bullock. Certainly am.
All right, and how are you this evening?
You know, I'm conflicted. I've been watching too much TV. And I'm not good, but I'm still here.
You know, and I can understand that because here we are in 2023, and a lot of things that we saw in 2020, 2018, 2016. 1977, 1970, the 60s, still going on today. And I know exactly what you mean, and I'm going to ask this evening, when I get to explaining certain things in the show, if you will allow me to, especially when we start off talking about the past events of this weekend, if you allow me to get through them, and then you can just go for it. But because if I don't, I won't.
No, you just tell me when, because I'm going to let you go for it. So go ahead.
Yeah. If I don't, if you don't, I won't. But, yeah, and it's amazing. Like you said, watching TV has been something crazy. And my grandmother used to say the more things. Things change, the more they stay the same. Now I'm really starting to understand exactly what she's talking about with certain things. There's no reason in the world that August 29th, 2023, we should still be fighting about things that we had fought about back in 1970. The issue of abortion should be settled. Race relations should be settled. Put it on the books, but yet you turn around and want to move the goalpost. And I'm just going to be honest. A lot of you, let's just turn the other cheek and, you know, we have to be the bigger person. And Negroes are getting on my nerves because there is no such thing as turning the other cheek all the time. Because the more we turn the other cheek, the more they keep doing foul things to us. And some people might want to say you're being overdramatic. It ain't as foul as you think. Well, when I constantly see black folks getting shot down, and getting shot down in their own neighborhoods, minding their own business, it is as foul as I think. Sister Reed?
Yeah, Brother Bullock, I agree with everything that you have said. And, you know, tonight's show is all about the constant targeting of black people. And I worry about this country. And the reason I said that I wasn't feeling too good is because of this. And this is from a show we did in July. And it says that in 2021, there's an estimated 47.2 million black people in the United States. The black population increased by 10 million between 2020 2000 and 2021, and that is a 30% increase. So nearly half of Black Americans are under 30 years old. And it breaks down geographically like this. The West Coast, it's about 10%. The Midwest, about 17%. The South, 57%. And the Northeast, about 17%. And the thing that worries me the most is, number one, these young people who are under 30, who are living in a brand new world technologically, are not going to take the same kind of stuff that our great-great-great-grandparents took, that our grandparents took, and that our parents took. And so where does that leave us if these young people are going to draw this line? And it's apparent to me that the line's going to have to be drawn, because white people, or I should say European Americans, don't appear to want to change. They want to continue with this racist rhetoric that has been part of this country from the beginning. They don't want to teach AP Black Studies. They don't want to teach CRT. They don't want their children to learn history, the real history of this country, because it might hurt their feelings, and they might learn to hate America. Really? Really? We've lived it, and many of us have died for it, and we still don't hate America the way they're talking about. So, anyway, Brother Tony, I'm turning it back to you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that, and this is why I tell people we just vibe. Now, you just spoke on AP Studies and Black History, and Governor Ron DeSantis and his board down there in Florida said one of the reasons why we decided that CRT and AP Studies would not be part of the curriculum have anything to do with the systems down here in Florida is because when we brought it up, we didn't get any kind of pushback from the other side. They just let us do what we wanted. They didn't fight us on it. So apparently they didn't want it taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love how they love to blame the victim. I love it.
Well,
but as you know, I always do. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, sis.
No, I was just going to say, I don't understand how you can be both perpetrator and victim at the same time in the same space. I mean, I don't know from science, you know, but I don't think that can exist at the same time in the same space, being a victim and being the perpetrator.
Amazing how that happens. Amazing how that happens. Now, as you know, I always like to give a little highlight of something I've checked out. Now, sit back and marinate on this one, my sister, and then let me know what you think. Now, Jupiter, Florida, which I happen to know where that is, there's a brother who surfs, black surfer, who was targeted in a racist attack involving symbolic lynching of his surfboard. Now, white surfers in Jupiter, Florida, took his board and nailed it to a tree and said it was a message where racism raised its ugly head in surfing. Now, what they did was nailed his board to a tree and said, "Don't be surfing our waters. You are not welcome here." You're not welcome here?
Interesting.
We can't stand to see you black people in our waters? When the hell did y'all buy an ocean? So he took his board down, surfed a whole day on a smaller board just to make sure they saw his face out there. Now, when words start getting around about what had happened, all of a sudden, of course, you had a certain group come along and go, "Wow, hey, man, look, not all of us are like that, and we're sorry it happened."
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, the bottom line is just when I think that Florida white man, that is, can sink no lower, they proved me wrong.
Well,
they proved me wrong.
Let me ask you something, Brother Tony, and I know that this I'm talking about a brown person here, not somebody who's, you know, of African descent necessarily. But wasn't it a native Hawaiian who invented surfing? It was not.
Yes, it was.
Okay, I was just checking. All right. I was just checking, brother, because, you know, I like the water, but I don't know nothing about surfing, so okay.
Well, you know
wow.
what? As quiet as it's kept, I do know how to surf because surfing is almost like riding a skateboard.
Mm.
It's a matter of balance, and when I was younger, we used to go visit Santa Cruz and up on the top end of Pacifica up by San Francisco. You know, I had some folks who showed me how to do it, and it was just like riding a surfboard, riding a skateboard in the neighborhood.
Well, yeah, and that was, you know, sidewalk surfing was very popular when we were kids.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I get that. I totally get that. But I just wanted to insert that caveat because white people or European Americans did not invent surfing. A native Hawaiian who was as brown as you and I invented surfing.
Well,
yes.
As I always say, they have no culture. Everything they have, they stole from other cultures.
Yeah,
and
I
then
see.
They try to claim it as their own.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before on the show, Brother Tony, about the parasitic nature of European Americans and of Europeans, for that matter. And that's what they do. So you have to have a host. And you got a parasite, and the parasite is going to survive as long as the host survives. So it's a terrible, terrible thing what we're looking at in our society. How much more can they take, not just from Africa, but from African Americans? We built this country, and we have said this many times on the show. I mean, just think about all the inventions. Think about all the labor. Think about all the, because we've done shows about reparations and how that would play out and so on and so forth. But, it's not that I'm speechless. It's just that, you know, I sat here today with my little dog, and I've been shaking my head because I'm 65 years old, and no way in heck did I think that we'd be having, like you said at the top of the show, these discussions about civil rights, human rights, women's rights, voting rights. People are still trying to disenfranchise us from voting. My God. So I'm just tired, brother. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And I hope if we get any callers, I hope they have some answers for us because I don't have any. I really don't.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. You reach a point to where, like Fannie Lou Hamer said, you sick and tired of being sick and tired. And,
right.
You know, it's like we are damned if we do, damned if we don't. And the more we try to find common ground, the more they try to take it from us. So,
you know, it's funny we're talking about this, Brother Tony, because I was thinking about something that one of my nephews said to me. He lives in New York. And he said, Auntie, why is it when we start talking about certain things, you go from zero to DEFCON 4 immediately? And I told him, I said, because you don't understand the journey. You're still young. This was several years ago. I mean, he was just getting out of high school when he was saying this. And I said, keep living. You'll see what Auntie's talking about. Because, you know, when we sit up straight and our hair whips around, we do that for a reason, Brother Tony, because we know what could be coming. And it don't matter if you're a man, a woman, or a child. If your skin is black, you are subject to be killed. You are subject to be chased. You are subject to be stopped driving while black. You are subject to be playing in a park or a playground with a simulated gun because you're 12 years old and get shot down by the police. And so this is why Auntie goes from zero to DEFCON 4 immediately, because you never know. You never know, Tony.
You are absolutely correct. You never know. And, you know, the sad thing about all of that is that they think they have a right to do this. Not only people out here in the public, but also those so-called people with the badges who are supposed to be protecting and serving.
Come on.
They think that they have a right to just shoot first and then don't answer no damn questions if they don't feel like it.
That's right. And we have a whole laundry list of people that we could talk about. And to be honest, Brother Tony, I was trying to find the list of names of sisters who were shot by the police when Sister Maria Else and I did a show about it a couple of 3 years ago. And I must have put it away so well that I hid it from myself. But I will say some names like Sandra Bland, Breonna Gaines. I will say some names like Mike Brown. You know, we can go on and on and on all night. Amadou Diallo. Willie Drumgold in Richmond, California. I mean, we could go on all night with the police that have killed black people.
Exactly. And the funny thing is...
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The funny thing is, the minute that you say that, this is the argument you get. Well, you know, if they would have just cooperated and done what the police asked them, maybe it wouldn't have happened that way. If they just would have just done what they were asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we all know that the minute police encounter black men, black women, black children, they unfasten a holster and put their hands on their weapon.
That's right.
Haven't drawn it already.
If they haven't drawn it already. There was, and this was just this week. It might have been just yesterday on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodwin, Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. They were talking about Antioch, California, and a young brother whose last name is Chamberlain, who won a $5 million suit against the police. And, excuse me, not Antioch. I believe it was White Plains? Anyway, help me, Brother Tony, because anyway,
that was White Plains, New York, but Antioch is also in the news.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me keep it straight, brother. And, you know, the brother said, while it's, you know, the money, you know, the police consider it a form of redress, but they will not admit wrongdoing. And what about all the families who have lost loved ones to police actions like this, who never make the news? And it took 12 years for these folks to get their settlement. So, it's like we are under siege as black people in this country. Nothing is promised. Nothing is solid for us. Everything is in motion almost. It's like, yeah, we plan for the future, but if one of us gets killed by the police, nobody's surprised by that. And isn't that a sorry state of affairs? What do we tell our children?
It's funny that you mentioned Antioch, and as I was saying, Antioch also is in the news because they have about 10 officers. Some have been arrested, some are under investigation because basically, they were running their own little terror squad. There was one officer there was one officer who was a canine officer who was taking his dog and turning his canine loose on people, making him bite them and then take pictures of the bites inflicted by the dog to keep as his trophy book.
Wow. How sick is that?
Then you had another one who was basically dealing drugs under the cover of his badge. Then you had another one shaking down businesses under the cover of his badge and taking advantage of women.
Right. I knew Antioch was in the news for a reason, yes.
And you know, all of these officers were white.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the sad part is, you know, like I know, this is not something out of the realm of normalcy. They do these things. Why?
Yep.
They think that thin blue line is going to protect them.
That's right. And
I'm an officer
includes,
now. I can get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, we're going to get into, praise the Lord, we're going to get into tonight's madness, the constant targeting of blacks right here in the good old USA, right here in America, So, this past Saturday, August 26th, I do believe, it was either 26th or the 27th, which was also the anniversary of the March on Washington, and Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech.
Yes.
White man entered a Dollar General store in the Newton neighborhood of Jacksonville, Florida, which is a predominantly black neighborhood. And he shot two people inside after shooting a woman who was sitting in her car. She was an Uber driver. After committing this foul act, that shooter turned the weapon on himself and took his own life. Now, this happened in Jacksonville, Florida, and this particular community, Jacksonville, has known this kind of violence before. Bear with me while I take you on a trip. In 1960, they were having sit-ins at the segregated lunch counters in Jacksonville. So there were a group of black students who had decided that they were going to sit in. The White Citizens Council of Jacksonville, Florida, was not going to let this happen. They was upset. So they had decided they had to come up with a plan. Just so happened their plan involved that great white organization, those good old sheet wearers of the night, the KKK. So, August 27th, as these young folks sat at these counters, and the White Citizens Council had came up with a plan. Their first plan was to have a white woman walk near them and collapse and say she was attacked. This was to give the white folks who jumped in to save her cover for their actions. So anyway, what ended up happening was, white men begin to gather in this downtown Jacksonville with baseball bats and axe handles that they had stashed in bushes nearby and begin attacking the black students and basically any black person they came upon. This became known as Axe Handle Saturday. And for the next 3 days, white mobs roamed the city of Jacksonville attacking black folks. Now, all of this is going on. No troops rolled in. The local PD didn't really come out in force. And as I said, this went on for 3 days. Now, 2018, you had a shooter who attacked a video game tournament, shooting and killing, again, in Jacksonville. And now, just this past weekend, this white man went into a black neighborhood, shooting and killing three people. And it is said that he was a lone wolf attacker, but my thing is, they really don't. And he'd written several manifests, told his father to check the computer, and his father turned it over to the police. But again, here we go. Now, Ron DeSantis wants to say, well, we don't support that kind of hatred and violence here in Florida, but yet you are out here beating the drum against CRT, Black Studies. You're firing Black officials from their jobs that work for the state, especially if they're a Democrat. But yet you claim, you and your people, you and the people that work for you, we're equal. We treat people equal. No, buddy, you don't. Far from it. And again, as he was being booed in Jacksonville, there were some people going, well, you know, it's not about party today, to hell with that, because this clown here with the big red nose, he started all this mess. You had neo-Nazis marching in front of Disneyland, shining swastikas on buildings in Orlando. He has yet to speak out against this kind of behavior.
See? Let me ask a question.
What does that tell you? That's the leader of the state, the governor.
I was going to ask you a question. Well, no, go ahead. I'll hold my question.
No. I'm done. Go ahead, Sister Reed.
Well, my question was about DeSantis, and maybe I missed a part of it, but I understand that this gunman who killed three at the Dollar General had first went to a local HBCU, a very small one.
Yes,
is that true?
He went to Waters and got turned away by security.
Okay, so this is a small school. Security turned him away. They did their job. Okay. And isn't it true that DeSantis now wants to give them some money? He wants
Let me speak on this.
I want you to.
Okay. Now, Ron DeSantis says he now wants to give that particular school $1 million. When every time during the sessions of voting that HBCUs have asked for their funding increase, he has denied them. He has denied them. He's denied FAMU. He's denied Waters. He's denied all minority schools their funding. And now all of a sudden he wants to play the role.
Yeah.
So don't think he's doing anything nice.
I figured he wasn't, but I didn't know, whether or not the listeners. Anyway, I'm glad I asked the question, and I knew you had the answer, so thank you. Thank you very much.
This is why we have to stay in form. We have got to read it for ourselves, because these people are not going to tell the damn truth. They will lie before hell will scorch a feather.
Yep. Yep. It's true. It is true. And I can't believe, well, I can believe, because I saw it on the TV, that DeSantis had the nerve to address those people. And this is why I was saying that State Representative Angie Nixon was my hero, my shero, because that picture of her looking at DeSantis as he's at the mic is priceless. It is priceless, that look on her face.
You know, that picture and that look was all we talked about on Twitter today. Like you say, she has became my shero and hero. She is one of the people I follow. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I had, you know me, and you've known me for a long time. I had to get on there and deal with some folks who was like, well, you know, Angie, if you did your part in the state house, okay, first and foremost, Florida. Florida is like Tennessee. State house is controlled by Republicans. The Republicans don't want to do anything for black folks, brown folks, gay folks, lesbian folks, children. It's all about the white male and his subservient partner, the white woman.
Yes, this is true.
And do not fool yourself. The white woman carries a lot of water for this madness that's going on.
I agree.
Sister Reed, I know. Because I know you. You are one of those folks that you see it for what it is.
Yeah.
And you will work with folks to a certain extent. After that, you're going to show them the dough. Because once they show you what they are, you like me.
Yeah.
You believe them.
That's, I do. And this is what's important. I mean, Maya Angelou told us that, you know, and James Baldwin said, and I've been using this quote for the last 2 weeks, I cannot believe, now this is from Baldwin, I can't believe what you say because I see what you do. And this is, I mean, when you put that in context with somebody like 45 or DeSantis or this Vivek or Nikki Haley, you know, these honorary white people, it just says it all. Baldwin was one of our greatest cultural critics. But it ain't rocket science to know about racism in America. I mean, it's really not. And these white people are belaboring the hate, wanting to justify it, wanted to erase it, wanted to cover it up like, you know, a cat using a litter box. But the stench is still there. And, you know, those white folks who say, oh, if I had known it was going to be like this, I'd have picked my own cotton. Quit lying. You don't even want to wipe your own behinds, let alone pick your own cotton. So let's not even go there. So, Brother,
you know,
Tony,
it is amazing. And, you know, let's take it back. Let's get back in the Wayback Machine. June 15th, 2015. When white supremacist Dylann Roof walked into an African Methodist church and murdered 9 people under the guise of wanting to worship with them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Shot and killed 9 people. And was taken in. Not only was he taken in unharmed, they took him to Burger King and fed him.
Thank you so much for. Yes, he got to the police station unscathed and fed. A similar Willie Drumgold was handcuffed at his house, put into a police car, and when he got to the Richmond police station in downtown Richmond, California, he was dead.
I understand that, but Dylann Roof killed 9 black folks, snuffed their lives out.
Yep.
And got taken to Burger King, got his crown, got fed, and then just marched into the police department.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
May 14th, Buffalo, New York. At the Tops Market on the east side. Peyton Gendron, live streamed his murderous attack on Twitch. Now, Twitch was smart enough to jump in and take it down within 2 minutes after they realized what he was doing. But another one went in, shot and killed those folks up, and they politely marched him to the police car doors, put him in, took him to the police station. And I've heard someone say, well, you know, they gave him 11 consecutive life sentences. I don't give a damn. He ought to be dead. Dylan Roof. Dylan Roof ought to be dead. Let's
see.
You know, I'm not advocating violence. I'm advocating protection for my people.
Come on.
And it always amazes me that when we talk about arming ourselves, going to the range and training ourselves, starting little cliques in our neighborhood to protect our neighborhood, somehow we're wrong. But yet,
absolutely,
pale folks can walk around open carry with no problem, take their guns everywhere they want to take them. But the minute they see you with a gun strapped across your chest, police want to talk to you. Sir, ma'am, can we speak to you? Why? You didn't speak to him. See, this darker shade of brown, this darker shade of brown makes them panic.
Gee, I wonder why.
And the killing part is, don't care how old we are, don't care how young we are. They have made us their constant enemy. They make us the target.
Yeah.
Now, Georgia and Florida, they just had some police officers who got jammed up for, while they're training, putting black faces on the targets they're shooting. And when it got brought up, the first thing they said was, no, this is, this has nothing to do with racism. We were just trying to give the, you know, give the target some personality. Okay, so why didn't you use 45's face?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you use Dick Nixon's face?
Mm-hmm. Come on, exactly.
It is.
They're not even subtle about it. Yeah.
No, that's the killing part. And people say, "Well, man, I don't understand. You know, why am I speaking out on things like this? Because our people, no matter what we've done, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Rosewood, Florida, to Chicago, Illinois,
to
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our people from the generations and decades from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s have been attacked and abused.
Yes.
There have been many black towns and settlements that were doing well on our own. And jealous white Americans, mad because they successful, mad because they succeed, mad because they got good land, come burn them out.
Yep.
Come rape, pillage, and kill.
True.
Somebody got mad at me today because I said, you may not do it the way they did it back then, but still doing the same thing. Anytime you continually redline neighborhoods, pay minority workers lower wages, give minority kids substandard schools, you're murdering us.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see how you could say that. I said it because it's true.
And this is the history they don't want their children to learn. And I say this, if our children and us as a people could live through it, surely their children could read a textbook about it in the safety of their suburban high schools and understand.
You got that right, my sister. And I see that we have a caller on the line. So let's jump in and see what's going on here.
All right.
Four 4277, you are on the line on Westside Visions. Caller, go ahead.
Good evening, comrades. This is Dr. Harris.
All right.
Sir.
Wow, y'all got some heavy topics tonight. And a lot of folks don't want to talk about, but... You know, it's just good that you're keeping it in the forefront. You and Brother Tony and Sister Eileen. I'm out here helping somebody move tonight, so I'm kind of out of breath, but I better call in before the show go off. But, you know, you're talking about police brutality and this country right now. You know, I asked someone the other day, I said, you know, black folk, Africans was brought over here from Africa to American soil. And I asked them the question, I said, I hear all this conversation about we need a passport to travel back home. I said, but we didn't need a passport to get on those slave ships to come over here to America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't forget that there's a system that's in place, that was put in place. The first system was this Kangaroo United Constitution that white privileged men put together for their self-benefit. That constitution that these white privileged men put together wasn't for black people. It was against black people. The same laws they have today is against us. It's not for us. But they have programmed us to salute a flag that has all kinds of blood on it.
Yeah.
They tell us to stand with honor and put our hand over our heart after their system that they created has murdered George Floyd, has murdered many of our sisters across the country. The same flag that flies before every NFL game, basketball game, any sports in America, everybody's supposed to stand with honor and salute that flag, put their hand over their heart. They're getting shot in the heart. And I don't understand how in the 21st century we don't understand that the court system that they have was another program. The prison system that they created was another program to incarcerate us, to brutalize us, to rape us, to mule us in this country. And what do we get from it? Eileen, I heard you say earlier about the inventions. You're correct. Our ancestors built everything in this country. Everything that people wake up in the morning and have an opportunity to use. Black folks made that. I mean, it goes all the way down to sitting on the toilet. We created that. We created for people to sit their white behinds on a toilet that black folk make. But yet we still, the children of the descendants of the slave, we still get treated like second-class citizens. So when do we, you know, understand that all the revolutionaries that came through the 1960s was assassinated by the CIA and the FBI? When will we understand that the Black Panther Party had the 12-point program? that was second to none, still be used in our mm-hmm. community if we would just apply it and quit being so damn scared.
Yeah.
And that's really the problem now, is that we don't have real men like Brother Tony. We don't have real men like me anymore that's going to stand and willing to die. If God,
you got that right.
What are we going to understand that we have to train our next young boys to understand? Pull your damn pants up and tighten your belt up. What are we going to understand that we have to create soldiers?
That's right.
Soldiers, not entertainers, soldiers in our community. But we have gotten so programmed that we just want to watch entertainment all goddamn week, 7 days a week, basketball, football. But yet while other ethnics can come over here, like our Indian brothers and sisters building their mosques and building their temples, and our Asian brothers and sisters are buying out complete shopping centers. See, they're dealing with economics while we're sitting over here entertaining.
Come on. That's true.
You know,
and we're
I just get sick of it. Just watching us disintegrate. Even in this town in Fresno, Mississippi, Fresno, I've watched for many years how the old timers, for lack of better words, died off. And those that came after them, we tried to hold the front line. But we thought a lot of our Latino brothers and sisters understood the struggle that we were going through, the disrespect that we get from our Latino brothers and sisters. You want to come in our community and start taking and changing names and street names, and you don't even come and talk to us. See, we just come in a time right now where enough is enough.
Well,
we're going to be men and stand up as men, or we're going to die just as a some type of rat or something. Let me say this on your show, Brother Tony, because there's a lot of conversations in the South about what I'm about to say, and I've been saying this for years. There's nothing wrong with black people supporting black people and building
for
black people.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
But as I told someone today, when our Asian brothers and sisters have their Hmong New Year, that's not for black people.
Mm-mm.
That's for their community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't mind us coming and spending money.
Yeah,
but at the end
right.
of the day, that's for their community.
Exactly.
Look at our Latino brothers and sisters. When they do Cinco de Mayo, that's for their community. That's not for our community. Now, they don't mind if we come.
Spend
but
money.
But they are restoring the history for their next generation and the elk. But then when black history comes, we got to be for everybody. But everybody ain't for us.
No.
And you can see that across the city by the inequality of what's happening to our communities.
Mm-hmm. You know what, brother? Let me just ask you a question, Rev. Do you remember when Floyd White Sr. talked about building an African village in Southwest Fresno? And I'm saying Southwest because of where he was talking about putting it, for just what you're talking about. But he was talking about a permanent structure where people could come and learn about our culture and everything. And every, you know, people on the West Side would make money, because this is the same time he was talking about, we were all talking about a credit union in West Fresno for black people, by black people, you know, a dollar per household. Am I just remembering this, Reverend Harris?
No. Nope.
Do you remember?
I remember when that conversation was out there.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Tony. Okay. Because it was, he did talk about this, and he talked about the credit union, too, and how banks were cool because the B of A was still over there at that time. But he said, we need our own credit union that's going to loan money for doing things for our own people. So, and we still could do that. Why can't we do it? But I know the show... The show is about us being targets, and we're targets in so many areas. But I just had to put that out there that we can do it too.
Oh, well, that's that.
They don't like
target.
Yeah, it's you know, I hate to say this, but those of us on the line and those supporters across the world. We're going to keep fighting to the last breath. We're going to keep fighting for our people, our community, what's left of it. And there's some things getting ready to happen that folks don't know about. Eileen know about it. And, you know, you're just not going to keep running over us and think that we're just going to be your doormat. Because our children are watching. Our children are watching us. And we got to show our children courage, strength, unity, you know. Eileen, I believe you have the flyer I gave you that had all the black businesses in our community.
Yes, I do. I still have it.
We have to understand that, you know, that's our measuring stick right there.
Mm.
You know, to say, hey, it used to be at one time, and it can still be, you know. But
and it can be, Reverend Harris, because people like you, people like Brother Tony, now see, you two are living examples of what a Black Panther is. And listeners, you have to believe me when I tell you this. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was just that. They weren't trying to go into somebody else's neighborhoods and do this and that. They were the original cop watch. They didn't have any video cameras. We're talking about taking names and badge numbers and license numbers of patrol cars and documentation. They did it by hand.
Yes, we did.
You know, there's no excuse. So when I say to people, I know people who are Panthers, who are living and breathing right now. Don't tell me we can't change things in our own neighborhoods. But it's like Reverend Harris says, you have to have the will to do it. You cannot be afraid to do it. So I just want to put that out there because the Panthers did not play. And this is not a threat. This is when you love your people. This is what love looks like. Hello, listeners. This is what love looks like if you love your community. You're there for them, whatever they need. Whatever they need. You are a servant leader. That's what Panthers were. Now, they might have had different methods than somebody like MLK. They were closer to Malcolm X, but they loved their people. Nobody can say that's not true.
Well, you know, one of the things, Sister Ali, Brother Tony, about a year or two ago, and I haven't forgot what he said, and we're still going to do it. I think everything has to do with timing. And one of the things that he had mentioned was the breakfast program. Food is a very important piece of our community, healthy food. And, you know, the Panthers, because a lot of the things that I get it from what the Panthers had did. And the breakfast program, the food program was one of them. You know, we have classrooms at our place. We're getting those classrooms set up where we can start bringing our math teachers in, our English teachers in, and start sitting down, not just working with our children, but working with our adults who may not have some struggling in reading or math. You know, create a job board. If we're going to build community, let's build community. Quit talking about it and be about it. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that's the problem we have right now. Everybody just want to talk, but I don't see nothing on your plate. So what we're saying in West Fresno, we're building off the platform of what the Black Panthers initiated. They have given us the blueprint. All we got to do is follow it. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, our ancestors built this place, man. And we can still keep building it. But we have to set up our base first where we can bring our people in, clean our people up, get them health care, get them some clothes, get them some food in their stomach where they can think clearly.
Help them get
exactly.
That's right.
Is that right, Brother? Is that right, Brother Tony?
This is exactly what needs to be done. Now, I can tell you honestly, I was one of them kids that when I would go to Oakland that ate at that breakfast program, I was one of them kids. My cousin, who I just found out is here and in Clovis, and I talked to her yesterday, she was one of them kids. Now, the Panthers, that particular model worked so well that the United States government took it, copied it, and turned it into the breakfast program and turned it into WIC. Don't let nobody tell you anything different.
Tell it. Tell it, brother.
Because that's exactly where that come from.
Yep.
But you are absolutely correct, Pastor, and there is no reason why we can't do this for our own community. What may start out over at Maine could then work its way up to several other churches with like-minded ministers. Then we start dealing with the education, just like you said.
Yep. That's a brilliant idea, Brother Tony. And it's doable because there's like 25, probably more than that now, Black churches in in West Fresno. 25
It
churches.
Is doable. It
it's
is doable.
Doable.
And like Pastor just said, we have to stop talking about it and start being about it.
And you know,
y'all
been
heard the saying.
Now it's
y'all
saying
heard
it,
the saying.
You can afford that.
Yeah,
you've
heard
that.
The saying. Talk is cheap.
Yeah.
Or so, as old folks used to say, talking loud and saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It so is time.
Yes.
It is time for us to pull it together and start getting our folks back in shape, get our people back in order, get our people back to where we need to be because a lot of our folks are lost. Why? Because they keep having people roll through and every once in a while somebody will say something and then that person disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we have got to stop doing in the Black community is people coming along, selling wolf tickets, and then fade into the sunset.
And those chests.
We see way too much of that. And Pastor, while you're on the line, I'm going to let you know up front, this Thursday, Sister Reed and I will be speaking to, and you will be calling in, we'll be speaking to you and another sister in the community who, like you, out there doing things, out there trying to make a difference. And we'll be speaking with Sister Tamika. We're going to let her know that we will be contacting her. But we're going to need you to call in this upcoming Thursday, my brother.
The food giveaway and all the things that FAME is doing in the community. And Brother Tony, could you just give a little preview of what we're going to talk about with Sister Tamika? Because you were given an impromptu tour, I understand.
Right,
I didn't
right.
know, okay. So
one of the things, one of the things that I found to be impressive was the fact that, you know, after I did this little tour, she was showing me her other two rooms where they hold functions. One's medium sized, then she has this big, beautiful ballroom where, you know, we could do a conference in there if we wanted to. And, you know, that's something that we need to keep in mind. But then as we spoke, I found out that this sister, right before school started, her and her people got together. They gave out backpacks. They brought in barbers and hair braiders and shampooers, and they gave haircuts, and they cut these children's hair, and they gave out clothing and shoes and food to take home so that these children and their parents could get ready for the upcoming school year.
Wow.
Not only did she do it for her folks in the Tower District, she just did it for the city. She opened it up to the city. Now, whether people had sense enough to take advantage of that, that's on them, just like we do over at FAME. The one thing I love about what Pastor Harris does is this right here. When we do our food giveaway, when we did our clothing and school giveaway, that wasn't just open to the West Side. That was open to the city.
Yeah, it was.
If you could get there, we put it in your hands.
See,
we ain't out here, and I don't care what rumors you hear out there, folks. We ain't out there regulating. We out there trying to make sure folks do better.
That's true.
We may not have all the answers, but we got some of them.
Well, you know what, Brother Tony? That resource day that you just described, 300 people were served that day. I don't know, Reverend Harris. It could be more people than that, but I heard 300. It might be more. So,
you know, people.
I feel better.
People are quick to throw stones and hide their hands. But this is why I associate with FAME. One, it's on the West Side. Two, it's a social justice church. Three, we have a dynamic leader who, like me, is not the one nor the two nor the three. You're not going to punk us.
Mm-mm.
We stand by what we believe in.
Yes,
we look out for our people. We look out for the community. And
yes,
I know our show tonight is about being targeted, and we do get targeted. And we'll get back to that because we still got a little time. But right now, I'm talking about 806 Collins on the Golden West Side.
See.
There are a lot of folks in Fresno get a kick out of bad mouthing Pastor Harris, out of bad mouthing what goes on at FAME. But
that's
I'm just going to say this. We are often imitated, but never duplicated, and we still standing.
See? That's true. That's very, very
true. We still
true.
Standing.
Yeah, and it's the same for Freedom School. Oh, yes, indeed. Same
you know, when it comes to Freedom School, Freedom School is often imitated but never duplicated. There are so many programs out there who have taken a little bit of this, taken a little bit of that. Well, it ain't quite what they're doing, but we're going to try to make it look that way. Like I say, often imitated but never duplicated. You will never be us. You hate us because you ain't us. We 100 at Freedom School. We are 100.
Yeah,
we are 100% at Freedom School.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm proud to say that because it's true. And I know people thought that, you know, we wouldn't survive, but here we are. It's 2023, and we're still here, and we're growing. We're getting bigger and better, and we have established that foundation, and we were on the front page of the Business Journal. Hey now,
Shout out to my man that put us on the front page of the Business Journal. I appreciate it.
Frank got the fever. He got the freedom school fever.
Frank got the fever. And, you know, I'm just going to be honest. You know, freedom school, you know, parents, those of you out there listening, get your children involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of other programs out there. You know, they glitzy. They got big time, brand new stuff, but they ain't got what we got. They ain't got the heart. They don't get down like we do.
No, they don't. And here's one thing that I always say to parents as the president of Freedom School. I say, if you bring your children to Freedom School, you don't have to worry about them. Why? Because we are going to take good care of them. And when they leave, they're going to leave happy. They're going to leave fed. They're going to be they will have learned something new, or they will have reinforced something that they've already learned, but they're going to be loved and cared for.
That's a true statement. That is a true statement. And nothing is truer than when I seen my girl Nefertiti when they came to the resource fair.
Yes.
And that baby, she was still jazzed about her time at Freedom School.
Now, see, I missed Nefertiti at the resource fair, but you were telling me about it, and I've been grinning about it ever since. And that's true. I love it. That's what we're about. We love our babies.
Yeah, because the thing about that was, here's a little young lady. We touched something in her.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I look back at that filming, and she was so happy out there in that demonstration garden.
Yeah, she was. And I was afraid they were going to get dirty, she and her sister, but they didn't seem to mind. They were out there doing
their
thing.
Well, you know, that's what dirt is for.
Well, that's so, Brother Tony, because they were definitely in it.
They did not mind.
Man,
but see, this is what Pastor Harris instills. People look at it and go, well, you know, what are they doing? They're learning about Mother Nature. They're learning about plants. They are learning about healthy food. And our nutritionist, Sarah, man.
Isn't she wonderful?
Just wonderful.
So, yeah, she really is. And so, you know, Freedom School is growing. We have dedicated volunteers like yourself, you know, who also works as a teacher when it comes to cooking demonstrations and things like that. I mean, when we need our volunteers, they show up for Freedom School, and that is what the passion is about, listeners. We love our community. This is what love looks like. When we have Kwanzaa, or we have the Progressive Black Summit, or we have our regular sessions in Freedom School, this is what love looks like when you love your community. And so when Brother Tony says what he says about, you know, often imitate it, never duplicate it, I said it right that time, but I can never say it the way he says it. But he's right. He's right. They cannot duplicate what we are trying to give our kids, what we do give our children, and the adults who come. I mean, at Reverend Harris and Doc Saxon's birthday party this past Saturday, there was a sister there who was one of our dedicated volunteers talking about the fact that she knew Freedom School in our first location over on Woodward. And she was so, as an adult, she got the fever. That fever was 3 years old, but she had it. And this is what gives hope. Yes, Brother Tony.
So, yes, Pastor. Anything else, sir?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, anything else you feel the need to put out there tonight?
No, I'm just looking forward to Thursday's show. Thursday's show, I will go ahead and live stream my people across the country for this special show for our sister Tamika, and for your radio show as well, and Eileen. I just want to encourage our people to start loving one another, encouraging one another, and you know, giving, you know, just supporting each other, because if we don't do it, no one else will. And we're at the crossroads right now where I you know, taking over this ministry at Fame pre-AME, the Lord has, you know, given me everything, facilities, you know, grow food, you know, you name it, we have it there. Social hall, you know, big sanctuary. And so I want to, you know, collaborate and partner with people who, as you said, Brother Tony, have like minds, and be able to, you know, teach our children, because they are our replacements. And if
That's
we don't
right.
put nothing in our children, then we can't expect nothing out. And so all I'm trying to do is build a platform for progressive black folks, progressive brown folks that we can partner, and progressive our white brothers and sisters, you know. That's been a great support to me personally and to the movement of justice in our community and across the country. So I'll go ahead and yield there. And as soon as you can get that show out to me, Brother Tony, I'll start pushing it across the country.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what we're doing. Well, Sister Reed, I think we covered our bases tonight. I think we put some information out there, and I think we kind of let folks know just how we feel about what's going on tonight.
I think we did, Brother Tony. And I have to say, I thank you, and I thank Reverend Harris so much, because you know what, brother? I got filled up from this show. But what I want to say right now to everybody who's listening to our show, the same thing I say every Tuesday and Thursday, that it's about a mindset. It's about a mindset, y'all. It's about a mindset. So with that being said, I implore you to stay black until we get back with you. Brother Tony?
Yes, sir. And like I always say, each one reach one, teach one. Range. Get them trained up. Get them licensed. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. It is time for you to start paying attention to these candidates. Those in your family or those you may know who aren't registered, get these folks registered to vote. Get ready for the fight of your life, because there's a lot on the line. Everything from abortion rights to just being allowed to being black in this country now. Let me say that again for those of you sitting in the back, eating popcorn, not paying attention. Just being black in America now. You know, if you live in certain states, Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, even California, walking down the street nowadays and you're black, ain't that safe. Because they may roll up on you and want your ID. Where are you coming from? Or as one of our good brothers, Brother Jay, found out once driving, this your car? It sure look nice. See, DWB is real. Driving while black. Oh, yeah, that's real. Get your folks squared away. Start reading these ballots. Start paying attention to what's going on TV. You don't have to always be out there, but, hey, look, watch the news. Take in a few of these political shows. Find out what's going on. I know some of y'all ain't been to church in a while. You better dip in. I'm quite sure there's a church in your neighborhood with somebody talking about something you want to hear. It's like Pastor Harris said. It's time for us to come together, be together, work together. We got to do this. We got to get with like-minded people. Because if we don't stand for something, we're going to mess around and fall, y'all. We're going to mess around and fall. And if we fall, it's going to be rough getting back up because they don't plan on us getting back up.
Tell it.
Like I always say, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, it ain't always perfect for us. But I will implore upon you to deal with the lesser of two evils. Because people like 45 have a game plan. If he somehow weaseled his way in, you're looking at a man that has plans on being president for the remainder of his life. Now, I know a lot of you sitting out there saying, oh, that could never happen here in the United States. For those of you who don't know history, we once had a president that served more than 8 years. His name was Roosevelt.
FDR.
FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
That's right.
And he spent a long time in the White House. Not that he was a bad guy, because he actually tried to do some very decent things. This is why we have that 8-year rule, because he stayed so long.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also look at that and think, well, maybe that was the best bet, because if we would have got that other guy, ain't no telling what would have happened.
Wow. Yeah.
See, you have to look at the really big picture, and a lot of folks don't do that no more. But we need to pull it together, folks. So get your people squared away. Get them registered. And like I said, those of you proficient with your arms, find your range to go to. Let's start taking care of our own like the Black Panthers Party for Defense did. It's time to take care of our people again.
That's right.
Until we get with y'all Thursday, and this Thursday we'll be talking about what's going on in our community here in Fresno and the people who are helping make things happen for the right reasons. Y'all stay strong. Take care of your people. Until then, we'll holler.